From the Parliamentary Monitoring Group.
Morning, Chairperson and members. My name is Themba Kubula from Parliamentary Communication Services.
To the Makeleni, Good morning. My name is Nomu Kamaskaka. I'm the committee secretary for PC on Mineral Resources.
Good morning. I'm Liz Obey, secretary to the chair of Mineral Resources.
Good morning, Honorable Members. I'm Karen Aldebus. I'm assisting the work of the Mineral Resources Portfolio Committee.
Good morning. I'm Colonel Piero in the Department of Labor.
Morning, everyone. My name is Lubo Malewa. I'm the committee secretary for Portfolio Committee on Labor.
Introduce themselves, are afraid to keep quiet and not say what their names are. It's allowed. If you want to remain anonymous.
Morning, I'm Henry Tweedy and I'm assisting Hendrik Schmidt.
Thank you very much. We have on the agenda here, as you all have copies of the agenda. Consideration and adoption of the committee report on oversight visits from TAP on the 6th of May. As that rule 202 of the National Assembly, the rules, says that where there were joint committee meetings and reports are to be written, the reports can only be adopted by separate committees, so we cannot have a joint approval of the report. So, and presently, when I look at Labour, we are not making a quorum, not as yet, and we only have one apology from Labour so far, that from Honourable Nyagemba, who is. Oh yeah, no, Labour, we do form a quorum. No, but it's a committee that approves the report, so, and not everybody will go, but otherwise we'll never make a quorum. We have to go that way. We are four, then we make a quorum because our number is seven.
Oh, the number is seven?
Yeah. The overall number of people. Are we more than seven? No, but some, okay. No. Pardon me, because there are people who don't necessarily attend meetings, so I've written them all. In my mind. Okay. And Mineral Resources, there is only the chairperson.
No.
Oh, okay. So it's 4-4. So we still do not make a quorum for the committees. But I really don't know that the Honorable Khalar is a member of the committee. I'm hearing it.
But you have six committees in this.
Okay.
Even with that, you have six. Is that honorable number in the corner? 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
No, it's okay. I'm going to suggest that we continue, go through the report, and then the question of the quorums we can look at later. Because there's a new member. I wasn't told that the Honorable Khanar is a member. I'm hearing it for the first time now, so that's why it was so confusing. Yes,
I want to
I want to propose that we actually put the report aside, and then we continue with the presentation, and then we will look at the report after we have finished with the presentation that they're bringing forward, because there are many issues that we want to correct on the report, and I think it would be very clumsy to do it in front of the visitors and so on. I would prefer that we actually deal with the report when we are on our own.
Thank you very much. I think that does make a lot of sense, and that you know, we can release you earlier to go home when we do our in-house you know, things. Thank you very much. I'll give over to the Department of Labor to present the report on ex-mine workers. If we Chairperson Bona.
Just before that, Chairperson, I think that we have been expecting more people than the Department of Labor and the Commission for Compensation. We need to know what happened, because this matter has been before us and on the table for quite a long time now. Last time, when there was an attempt to abandon it because people did not respond to your invitation, and it would seem that it's a similar situation that we are now faced with. There are only two entities that are here. Expected here was the Chamber of Mines. Expected here was the Rand Mutual Assurance, because we can't be going backwards and forwards on this issue unless from within the delegations that are here there are those who would have in-depth knowledge of issues pertaining of money, because we're talking money here. Rand Mutual in particular, there are quite large sums of money that have been mentioned at the beginning of this whole problem. And up to now, there hasn't been anyone from Rand Mutual to come and account to us here to say how much is it that they have, which is unclaimed from the ex-mine workers. If there is that knowledge from within yourselves, we will be grateful. The same goes for the Chamber of Mines. You're talking ex-mine workers here. And Chamber of Mines is heavily involved, particularly their use of DEPA. I don't know whether DEPA has appeared before you at any stage to give you account. So that's the third entity that is supposed to be here, so that we put this matter into its finality. We can't be dealing with this thing backwards and forwards for another 10 years. And meanwhile, some of these potential claimants will be passing on, and it will be more difficult to then deal with their dependents than to deal with the claimants themselves.
What we did, we invited the interdepartmental task team. So, and these are the only people who turned up. And maybe I was hoping that we'll get an apology when they give their report, that so-and-so wasn't able to come because of this and that reason. Maybe they've got the information was forwarded to them. And I think maybe let's go on with the report. If there are gaps, then we'll see what is this that we need to do to ensure that these people come here, because I think we're going to end up lamenting. Maybe after the report, then we'll see what is the way forward. Who else should come here? Why are they not here? Because after with apologies, there was only one apology. I thought somebody will raise their hand and say, no, there's an apology from the Rand Mutual or from TEBA, or maybe they do have information that is given to them by those entities. But we will find a way of dealing with this matter as we go.
Chairperson, can I also suggest that, or propose that, the chairperson of the interdepartmental task team, Mr. Surumo, just give us an indication to say the people that form part of the interdepartmental task team who are not here, who are they? Because clearly those that are here are the representatives of the African workers, and him as the chairperson of the interdepartmental task team. Can he tell us who are those that, that are not present at this meeting and were given invitation for the meeting?
Chairperson, thank you so much. Chairperson, if I have to answer the question, the CCOD under the Department of Health is supposed to be here. I actually arranged a special meeting on Thursday to go and meet with the commissioner to sensitize her about the importance of the meeting. The indication I got was that they will be unable to come today because they have pressing issues of the financial statements. Now, in terms of the PFMA, financial statements are supposed to be finalized by the end of May. So they have not finalized them. So she indicated to me that there are only two people who are dealing with this. It's herself and Ms. Kaka. So she actually sent the apology. But fortunately, she actually provided us with the report. The report, because they are busy with the audit and the issues of financial statements. Now, Rand Mutual is also supposed to be here. Rand Mutual Association is supposed to be here. And I think, Chairperson, you remember that the old Rand Mutual dealt with about 20 names which were provided. And I think it is at that point in time that they actually came over because they were giving progress reports on those names. Now, after they finalized that particular process from their point of view, thereafter we actually got apologies that they could not attend the meeting. But there is some information that we gave them, and unfortunately we have not yet got feedback. The Chamber of Mines also is not here, and I also know, Chairperson, when I also invited them, they indicated to me that the Portfolio Committee has also invited them, and they declined to come because they believe that they've dealt with all issues around ex-mine workers. National Treasury is supposed to also to be here, but they haven't attended, and even some of the meetings, the last meetings that we had, they did not attend. And we also have seen the Department of Health not attending the meeting. That is, they are represented by Advocate Nake. From our side, Chairperson, like you have instructed us that I think you instructed the former acting director general to communicate with other director general. What we've done from ourselves, we have escalated the issue to the minister, and the minister is actually communicating with his colleagues around that particular the issues of non-attendance. But Chairperson, despite the fact of, I don't know, Chairperson, are we going to get an interpreter? Because the ex-mine workers may have a difficulty in the following the proceedings. We do have some people here who can, I don't know whether they are allowed in Parliament. Okay. Try to speak in Zulu, but I understand Zulu with difficulty.
Listen, we had a very successful, if I can maybe start to alleviate the fears of members.
So let us just check if we are covered at the back there with the interpreting. I'm worried about where you are seated. You should be sitting in the middle so that you can.
Also, for Provident Fund, we have set the date of 7 of October for all information pertaining to the claiming of the pension fund or the Provident Fund to come on the 7th of October. Thereafter, we will be able to know what we are dealing with, and as we move on, we'll be able to give Parliament a progress as to, you know, the validity of the claims and how much has been paid. Now, if I have to go back, if I have to go back to the presentation, Chairperson, this is the overall progress since the resolution of Parliament. We have the steering committee here, that's number one. We are seeing also the regular meetings have been held by the interdepartmental task team, and the last meeting was the one of the 3rd of August, where we made those important resolutions. The ex-mine workers have started to receive their payments. As we speak, payments, they are trickling in. Fortunately, we also have contact with TEBA. I need to indicate, Chairperson, that we have a very good relationship with TEBA. As we give them information, they're actually giving us feedback, despite the fact that they're not attending the meetings. Now, also, we have indicated that the former Minister of Labour, through advocacy, he tried to announce in the media for people to come forward to make their claims, in particular from the CCOD, the Department of Health. He urged those who have legitimate claims to come forward and bring them adequate information documentation. He also helped us to bring Seba on board. The current Minister of Labour was able to meet with the leaders of ex-mine workers. Now, we have also established a code of conduct, and it was adopted by the interdepartmental task team on ex-mine workers on how we need to conduct ourselves and how do we need to raise issues. Because we had a problem about information, the communication, which, for instance, the interdepartmental task team is not aware of. We sit in meetings, we discuss, and the following day, a letter is written to the president to indicate that the ex-mine workers, they want to meet with the president when we are working on. We're not against that, but we are saying let the issues be raised within a particular forum, and if we're not, the ex-mine workers are not happy, then they can indicate to us that they will actually follow a process where they will engage further. In terms of the unemployment insurance fund, Chairperson, since we met, we presented our report to yourself. To date, we have paid 1,196 payments to the value of 4.9 million to ex-mine workers. In the last presentation to the Joint Portfolio Committee held on the 6th of May, we reported the payment of 1,126, so which means up to date, we have paid 70 ex-mine workers more, and the additional amount is 300,000. Now, based from the meeting that you had, we actually talked about the deadlines in terms of the information that we need to receive from ex-mine workers. We have received a list, Chairperson, an additional list over and above the list of 4,400 that we're dealing with. We've got an additional list of 1,844 of the list of names from ex-mine workers who were making a claim after the May 2011 deadline. The total of 45 pertain to the Rand Mutual, which was sent to them. We have not received feedback in that regard. The total for CCOD, which was also given to them, was 53. In our report, will indicate that there was 41 people who have been paid in that regard. Now, Chairperson, of the 1,844 names we have received from ex-mine workers, we took that information to DEBA for verification. We looked into our system, but we also went to DEBA. Now, in our system, we found that 1,608 of the people who are claiming, they have not claimed in our system. We sent it to DEBA, and DEBA also came back and said, we have no trace of these people, which means these are the claims that could not which are not valid. They're not valid claims that we indicated previously. We did receive a list, of 4,400. We only found 2,001 potential previously. Now, with this list again, we have a challenge where there are no records of these people in our system, and also TEBA cannot validate them. Now, in that list, we have received employment history of 174 people from TEBA, but where there are no details of remuneration.
Sorry, I just need to interrupt this. I don't see a lot of translating going on at the back, and I'm concerned. Do the ex-mine workers understand this chart with these details? Because if they don't, we could have a problem later. I just want to check if they do understand. If they understand, then I'll be quiet.
Yes, Chair, I did check with them. They said it's fine so far.
Chairperson, on the 1006,
may I say that if there is something that if they say get in terms of production, you will raise your hand, and then from there we'll give you a chance as the interpreter. We'll come just to check if people are, if we are still here. And if you are not, we'll stop and then go deep into explaining that. Okay. Sure.
Chairperson, on the 1608, we have actually went back to ex-mine workers to issue them with this information to say this is the problem. But from their side, they need to give us any form of proof that these people were actually working in the mine. Because from our side, we can't find any information. So we're still waiting for them to give us information. Now, where there's employment history, our work is much easier. Because then, our act allows us to determine the remuneration. So we've asked them to actually bring some form of affidavits and payslips, and as soon as we receive those, we will then be able to effect the payment. The other issue which was a problem was the issue of staff. For us to accomplish what we've accomplished, people started to work overtime, but fortunately the Minister of Labour has allocated more people into the project. We have about six posts that have been created to help in this regard. We're also able in the provincial office, we're able to help the ex-mine workers with the opening of bank accounts, which was a challenge. As I indicated, Chairperson, there are 78 people that we're supposed to pay. When we wanted to pay, there was a challenge of a bank account. So that particular process has then taken place. On the second page, we come to CCOD, but there is a detailed report about the CCOD, which I'll come to it. Their challenges are also indicated in that. I won't go delve into them. On Rail Mutual, Chairperson, I think we know that they dealt with about 20,000 names, and they could not find people with a valid claim. Those that they found were about 20, and they said they were able to pay those people. Now, we gave them a list of 45 claimants from ex-mine workers, and they are still working with that list. As I've indicated, we said the ex-mine workers must give us the names of people who are claiming from the REN Mutual by the end of September, so that we can deal with the final list. As you remember, Chairperson, the other list that was provided and the REN Mutual looked at and tried to clear the ex-mine workers actually disputed to say is not coming from them, although we all along we have been working together with that particular list. Now, on Chamber of Mines, the list of applications by ex-mine workers who claim to be owned pension fund must be submitted by the 7th of October 2011. And thereafter, from our side, Chairperson, we'll take the responsibility to go to Chamber of Mines, because initially they were part of meetings, and after we gave them the list of ex-mine workers and they looked into their records, they came and said, no, they cannot find anybody that they are owing from that particular group. But if we have another list, we'll take it back to them and say, this is another list. They need to start to check and find whether there are people that they can pay from that particular list. Chairperson, the other report which is I need to give is the detail of the information we have received so far. This is on the UIF. Just just to give members a background, there was a phase one in terms of the information which was supposed to be presented. We received a list of 4,400 people. From that list, we found that the potential beneficiaries were 2,100. Which means there was a problem with the names of about 2,300 people. We have paid in terms of our old act, which amount comes to 1,196. In terms of the current act, we were able to pay 16 people. Now, there is 888 named chairperson from the 2001 which could not pay. We must actually, if I have to remember, to remind the honorable members, is that how we came to the 2001, our system said, yes, this is a start date, this person has worked. But the challenges that we have now is that you don't have an end date and you don't also have a salary. So this is the information that we are busy working with DEBA in terms of the 888. Where there is a start date and an end date, which indicates the person started to work this time, he ended this time, we can pay where we determine the salary. We can look at other people working in that area, in that mine, to say the salaries can be more or less the same, and we can then be able to pay. But where there is no end date, our act is so strict, we can't do that, because we say we pay a person who's unemployed. So if there's no end date, there's no indication that the person has stopped working. That's where the problem is. But we're still continuing to try to get information in that regard. Now, phase two, chairperson, is the one that I've just indicated. 1,884, where there are no periods of service. The system says we don't know this person, these people, and also Java says we don't know these people, is 1,608. Now, we found, fortunately, 174 people, but there are no details of remuneration. We communicated with the leaders of ex-mine workers for people to come forward, anything that they may have, a pay slip, and also just to give us an affidavit, then we'll be able to pay the 174. Now, when there's no end date, is on 102, and that information, we're still working with DEBA also and ex-mine workers, just to get information in that regard. I hope members will appreciate that these are not things that you just pay quickly when people come. You have to search because they relate to long period of time. The last list that we have received under phase three is 997 names. Now, our systems have no records of 760 people. System says we don't know these people. The information that we have received is that 78 people are eligible for payment. Now, we have just received yesterday, chairperson, from DEBA, a record of about 44 people that we need to check, because DEBA is saying this is the information that they have. They are actually saying these people did work in the mine, and then we can start to get payment. From DEBA, we're still waiting for 115 records of information so that we can start. They are still validating the 115 information, then they will come back to us. So, chairperson, that is the report, and we need to indicate that as the interdepartmental task team, we are grateful to the members where they actually allowed us to set up deadlines. Because now we know that if we have this deadline, we are dealing with this information. And the ex-mine workers in that meeting of the 3rd of August, they've actually agreed with us that this is what we are dealing with at this point in time. And we believe that by the end of this financial year, we may be able to have a report where we are saying we've paid the 888 people, we've paid the 150 and so on. So it actually makes us not to work with a moving target. We have this information, and we hope that members will hold us accountable on the numbers that we have that we presented here. Yeah, I don't don't know, Chairperson, that is the report of the UN. If we go to the other report, I don't know whether members want to question it before we go to the report on the other project, the CCOD.
I was thinking that let us get the whole report so that we can engage with the people at the same time.
Alright.
If that is in order, members. Okay, proceed.
Alright.
And again, if there's anyone who is not able to follow, raise your hand so that we can, you know, explain further and deeper. Thank you.
Chairperson, the report that is coming from the Department of Health, CCOD, which is Compensation for Occupational Diseases, it's here. What they are trying to do initially, Chairperson, is just to explain the event and the efforts that they actually undertook to ensure that people are paid. It's not a PowerPoint presentation, so we'll just go through it quickly. What the report says, Chairperson, is a brief on the 54 million state Eastern Cape project and the status to date. Now, this particular project from them is started in 1994, and there was that process which was from 1994 to 1996, where they indicated that funds and incomplete documents transferred from the former Transkei government to the Compensation Commissioner for Occupational Diseases was then provided, and that the amount with the records, Chairperson, was 30 million. Now, the following information still cannot be confirmed by CCOD. Unfortunately, they say they cannot confirm this information. They don't understand how the 30 million became 54. But unfortunately, the people who are there now are also new people. The commissioner came, I think, last year, if I'm not mistaken. The person who was dealing with this particular matter is Mr. Mashiko, who has joined the Department of Justice. So available incomplete documents reflect an amount of 8 million as transferred. The money is included in the CCOD surplus and it has been invested. It was not clear that how many ex-mine workers were eligible for the payment. Incomplete records showed a total number of 11,000. So they had only 11,000 ex-mine workers who were eligible at that point in time. And they were each not owned more than 1,700. It means the limit was 1,700. Now, in the 2002, there was a task team, I think it was still the Honorable Mr. Stofile, who was the Premier in the Eastern Cape, who appointed a task team. The members of the task team was the Office of the Premier, it was also the Chairperson, who was Mr. Matupela, and it was Mr. Kikwe, who was also the member from the Office of the Premier. The Department of Health was represented by those people who were there. The Eastern Cape Department of Health was also represented by Ms. Mzimba. There were also mine workers unions, which were the ex-mine workers. The Labor Department was also represented, and also the Chamber of Mines. Now, in 2003, there was a submission to the Minister of Health, and approval was done on how to divide the money. That's how the 2,700 amount came into being. 2,700. Chairperson, is 2,700. 1,000 was the money at that point in time of which they believed they were owed, but after the calculation they came to another figure, which is the figure that is being paid now, which is 2,700. Now, these are the efforts, Chairperson, that at that point in time the Department of Health under CCOG put in place to deal with this particular matter. Number one, CCOD appointed temporary staff for capturing all documents in the Eastern Cape in July 2003. Payments of 2007 to all 18,500 beneficiaries came to me. According to the report, the 18,500 names came from the ex-mine workers themselves. The record they had was 11, but the list came after those negotiations came to 18,500. All 18,500, those were the resolution of the task team, they paid irrespective of whether they have been paid previously. So which was a compromise to say, we want to deal with this matter, so we'll pay everybody, despite the fact that others could have been paid. Use of 2003, staff members from CCOD deployed and worked in the Eastern Cape for 3 months. A list of 8,500 beneficiaries was compiled by CCOD from the records given by the Ekman Workers Union. Beneficiaries were traced and compensated. Members of Ekman Workers Union discouraged from applying, and Ekman Workers Union disrupted some service stations, which means the Ekman workers and their leaders were not happy with that particular process, hence there was that engagement and disruptions of the service stations where payments were supposed to take place. Ekman workers did seek court interdict. They went to court to prevent CCOD from tracing beneficiaries, and unfortunately they lost the court case. Now in 2004, nurses at 12 identified hospitals were trained on compensation processes in order to take over and continue with assisting beneficiaries with the application. CCOD commenced tracing in March 2004. The beneficiaries were then allowed to apply at hospitals, but Ekman Workers Union first attempted to take over the process from nurses at Mthatha General and Mount Frere Hospital. Manfred, thank you so much. And forms were couriered to CCOD for processing, and compensation chairperson continued. May to December 2005, unions had sit-ins in CCOD and demanded payments for all people who were transported from the Eastern Cape to Johannesburg, which means despite this process that has been taking place, there was the dissatisfaction from the Ekman workers in the process. But only those who appear on CCOD records were attended to. CCOD once again deployed staff to the Eastern Cape for a period of 4 weeks again for tracing the outstanding beneficiaries as per the request made by the Ekman Workers Union. Hospitals that were used as centers were Mthatha again, All Saints and Patrick's and all others. Now, payments made June 2003 to 2006. A total of 11,200 Ekman workers have since been paid, and an amount of 32 million has been spent. If you look at it, Chairperson, the 32 million correlates with the money which was actually transferred from the department. So there's that correlation, and also the 11,000, you can see there could be that correlation there. Demands from Ekman workers were as follows. The Ekman workers wanted the 1997 money. 1976, thank you, ma'am. 1976 monies, accrued interest in the amount of 54 million. They wanted the interest. As we've indicated, the money was invested, so they wanted all that money. Now, they wanted payment to be made to the in-laws as beneficiaries. According to the law, the money was paid to the son-in-law. But now, there was that demand from Ekman workers that they just pay Abu Malozi Undowozana, the in-laws. And that particular process started, Chairperson, and that's why we have this faith. The daughter's in law. Yeah, so because it was like there are no sons in laws anymore. So Abantabasa Sele Abu is a daughter's in law. So even though the law did not want that particular process to apply to that. I remember in the meeting where we sat with the former Director General, Mr. Mselek, where we sat and they issued a resolution where they said they will actually look into the daughters-in-law for payment, and that process indeed did take place. So one of their grievances was then dealt with by the Department of Health. Now, CSK beneficiaries were to be excluded from the program. Travel and accommodation costs for members was supposed to be paid. The determination of 2,700 was not acceptable, even though the initial amount, according to the records, was 1,007. It was increased by 1,000, but still there was a dissatisfaction in that regard. In 2006-2007, a report from Dimensions Development Network compiled on behalf of the Eastern Cape Task Team from February 2009, CCOD accepted and paid the beneficiaries that come with records from the Eastern Cape project. It it is in that large chairperson that the ad hoc committee recommended to Parliament for the establishment of this task team consisting of the Department of Labour, Health, Mineral and Energy, and also National Trade. I won't go to what those members are aware of the deliberations. We talked about them from the ad hoc committee and their recommendation. Now, what happens after the recommendation from the ad hoc committee on ex-mine workers? CCOG was requested by the Office of the Deputy President to attend the meeting on March 2009 regarding the ex-mine workers' outstanding benefits. After some discussion surrounding the alleged outstanding monies of the ex-mine workers, the Office of the Deputy President made the following recommendation. I remember, Chairperson, I was part of that meeting also, where the ex-mine workers were actually threatening that, I think that during the voting time, they threatened that they are going to actually vote there in the...
Excuse me, Mr. Smith. I don't know that you go back then continuing to that we divide
Informed, which is the one where Mr. Ngonyama is sitting on, the task team, which is headed by the Office of the Premier. The interdepartmental task team was formed. The Department of Labor was nominated to lead it. The Department of Health nominated Advocate Ngazi to become the member of the task team. Unfortunately, he's attended most of the meetings. But recently, I need to indicate a person. He's not attending the meetings. The municipal offices in district, Tusong centers, 8 mine workers, union offices were identified. OTP communication to engage with municipalities for these of offices and officials. In a meeting that was held on the 19th of March in Kopanom, conference center with the DG of Health, which I spoke about, and the Office of the Premier of the Eastern Cape Province, officials from the Department of Health and 8 mine workers represented. CCOD was mandated to reconsider paying beneficiaries that 8 mine workers union had complained about, especially daughters-in-law, who had proved that they were dependent on the deceased 8 mine workers. However, CCOD needed to have an official written mandate to pay daughters-in-law, and the submission was written to the minister requesting permission to do so. Unfortunately, the Minister of Health approved that particular process where the daughters-in-law were paid, despite the fact that the ex said they should not be paid. Approach to the project, a provincial task team committee comprising of the following stakeholders: Office of the Premier, Department of Health, themselves, Department of Labor, Department of Health, CCOD and MBOD, ex-mine workers union, ex-Natal Coal and Gold Mine Workers Union represented by Omnyam Fude. It was resolved that Provincial Steering Committee will meet weekly, preferably on Mondays, to receive progress on the milestone achieved and obstacle encountered in the process. The Steering Committee met and resolved, among other discussion points, the following. Chairperson, this is the work that happened recently under this task team. Mobilizing the beneficiaries, identification of workstations, create awareness, project awareness, address problems encountered, making recommendations to the interdepartmental task team, gazette the chosen date of the project to be the 31 of August 2009. So which means, according to them, the 8 mine workers were supposed to claim their money and the daughters-in-law by the 31st of August 2009. The steering committee agreed to target the beneficiaries according to your district municipalities, and this is where, Chairperson, the operation took place. O.R. Tambo, Amatole District, Alfred Nzo, Okatamba, Chris Honey, and so forth. This is where the stations were located, and people were going there to actually claim their money to CCOD. And a lot awareness campaigns were then done extensively to get the people who are not claiming, the other 20 million which was not claimed. Now, the present milestone, Chairperson, since this team was established, is that CCOD and MBOD deployed a total of 7 officers for 3 months to the province to embark on the project, and the task of information gathering was commenced with on May 2009, starting on O.R. Tambo District. It was further agreed on the Eastern Cape Steering Committee that health staff be deployed in the province to wind up the activities of the 23rd of July till August, which was then the deadline. Challenges during that period, Chairperson, where these centers were put in place, there was a low turnout of ex-mine workers or beneficiaries in certain areas as a result of claims that they are made to pay representative of ex-mine workers union a fee of 250 to access services provided by CCOD, which is an allegation that has been made by people who could not come because they had to pay to access those benefits. There was also, I think, division within ex-mine workers. As we know, there was one leader, and unfortunately, there are other groups now. As we see, we have about 3 groups. Transport cost of the representative of ex-mine workers union, complaints from ex-miners union to be provided with food, general low turnout to beneficiaries, inadequate communication. Due to the challenges at the time, the gazette closing of the project was issued. At the closing time of the project, SK the gazette was then extended by about 2 months, which was now 31st of October 2009. Since by that time, this particular project was supposed to have been closed according to
arrangement from the Department of Health. The Department of Health is aware that the project is closed, but because there are still beneficiaries coming forward to claim a citizen, to continue to pay them was taken. They've indicated that despite that this thing was closed, the project was closed, but because people are still coming, they actually are continuing to help them. Now, this is the payment status to date, Chairperson. In 2003 to 2006, they were able to pay 11,200 people. 2007-2008, they were able to pay 125 people. 2008-2009, 2,045. And when they opened for the daughters-in-law, 2009 and 10, they were able to pay 633 people. The last financial year, they paid only 50. And 2011 to date, the 41 people have been paid. These are the challenges that they say they are facing. The first one is that the witnesses are not the family members as agreed at the steering committee. In the steering committee, it was like, if you are a daughter-in-law, the family must come and say, yes, we know this is our daughter-in-law. But at this point in time, people who are coming are not their relatives, so it becomes difficult in that regard to make payments when members are not willing, the family members are not willing to vouch that this is a daughter-in-law. Now, there's also a problem of incomplete application forms and documentation. Outstanding claimants' banking details, which is something that the Eastern Cape Steering Committee has addressed. Affidavits confirming the relationship of the claimant to the minor are prepared by tribal authorities of other districts. Now, the resolution was that people within a district, the chief in that district has to say, if the family members are not able to do that, the chief must be able to say yes in that district. We know this particular person was married to this particular person, but it's now people from other districts, which, according to the CCOD, that is not acceptable. Applications received without reference numbers delay the process, and in some cases, can never be matched. So people bring, remember that the CCOD has got a list. So each time you bring a person, they look at the list. So people who are brought in, they're not matching the list that has been compliant. Now, for one claim, what they also see is that different claimants are coming from one claim. So instead of person come, we have about three people who are coming to claim for the same amount. The ratio of fraudulent claims to authentic claims is increasing on a daily basis, which could be an indication that some of these minors on the original list never existed. So the chance of relatives coming forward is actually minimal. So, Chairperson, that is the report that it comes from CCOD, trying to give a background and also putting the challenges that they have faced. And also in this particular presentation, you'll see that there are so much work that they embarked upon to try to assist the ex-mine workers. In conclusion, Chairperson, from our side, while we have the two dates for May for UI, September for Rand Mutual, 7 October for Pension Fund, the CCOD under the Department of Health have indicated that their doors are always open for people to come to claim because they have that list. They have indicated that they could be embarking on the other campaign to reach as many people as possible for their money to be paid. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Commissioner. I think I'm going to give this first to the mine workers, to the ex-mine workers, to say, do you identify, does this report talk to you? And if it does, good. And if it doesn't, where is it not talking to you? Which part? And if there is something that you did not understand or you need further clarities, let us give you this chance first. Because this meeting is about you. When all is said and done, they will have.
We touch is what the ones are named by. chairperson of the task team has clearly explained it and even given a background or history about the event.
Zonke ezindazithethayo zizidazikhoyo.
All that he has mentioned so far are facts that are correct.
Department of Health iyatakataka okwesele.
We have the Department of Health just like a frog moving around in front of us.
Usihlalo le report ebenza angeke akwazi ukuyiphendula ngenxa yoba the Department of Health ayikho.
Chairperson report that he has given will never be in a position to respond to that report, and the reason would be because the Department of Health is not present yet.
Kodwa yona ingolihlobo ayibeka ngalo.
But in actual fact, the report that he has given is correct, and it is as he has given it.
To into yomolokazana, omolokazana bavalwa kwathiwa abazobhatalwa.
And the fact of the daughters-in-law, they were counted, and it was said that they would not be paid.
Bevalwa kwayiyo Department of Health.
And this prevention was a prevention that also came from the Department of Health.
Bathi kungcono kubhatalwe udade wabo kunoba kubhatalwe umolokazana.
It is better that the sister be paid rather than paying the daughters-in-law.
Lo eza ne 20 rand makuthone elikhehle belibhutshuzwa kulo molokazana.
The one who would come with 20 rand if the old man after whom the daughter-in-law has been looking has passed away.
Ingako ndithi batakataka ntsokwesele.
That is for that reason why I say that they are moving around. One sees them moving around like a frog.
Zonke izinto zobama kwenziwele zivela phaa kubo.
All these events that let us do this one, let us do that one, it is all issues that are coming from their side.
Bade babe nento ethi nomakhelwane uba ngabe bekhaphazeleka kulo mntu unelungelo lokumclaimela.
They even went as far as saying even if the neighbor was also affected by this, the neighbor was also fully entitled also to submit a claim.
Bendisenza ntselo ngcaciso andifuna ukuthetha ngomntu engekho xa bekhona ndingathetha mzulu.
I was just giving that background. I am not one who likes to speak about a person when one is not present. I would have spoken better if one was present.
Nangoku bengabhatali nje ufika namhlanje kukhona utshintsho oluthi.
Now, even now that they are not paying, you'll see them, you'll find them today moving around or changing, having certain new allegations. When you have finished to do what they had asked you to do, you will hear them coming with another new issue saying, we need this now to be done. I even went as far as asking them, does this now mean that there has been an end? There is no longer money in their position. Because if there was no longer any money, it would have been better if they would come forward and say that we are no longer having any money. They should further explain to us what has happened to the money, where is the money. That is all that I want to say. I think definitely I've been in a better position. I can say something else when the Department of Health has got representatives that are here present. Secondly, here is another point that bothers us. Our chairperson of the task team. There are also persons when he calls, they would not respond or come forward. One does not know whether are they disobeying or underestimating the powers that the task team are having. We do not know even if you as present here today, if you would summon them or call them, would they possibly not turn up or come. People like the Kangwane Tepas are people that were long last seen. As well as the people of the Chamber of Mine, as they are also part and a division of this task team. We do not know what is their problem even now. The Premier is also now also moving backwards, no longer moving with us. What is happening is exactly what we had requested before, that there should be people who has the knowledge about the ex-mine workers who could know, because the people who are representing, you'll find them at times not knowing what to negotiate on. It seems it would be better if there could be one who has direct knowledge, who knows about ex-mine workers. That is all, Chairperson.
Selling a family by number and when daughter and me umzuayo iyeka umsebenzi ngenxa yesigulo zasemgodini izawuma umzi wayo ke ngoku nge-2700 ayinabiphinde iqeshwe ndawo loo ndoda.
Person, I have an imagination of a person who lost his job, who'd been doing his housework, and he is having this, lost it with this 2700. You must also bear in mind that this person would not ever be employed anywhere.
Itshola ndikhuphela abantwana phaya bayodlwengula amaxhekwazi bayoroba imoto bathengisa idrugs bawuthengisa imizimba abanye kuba le ndoda ayikwazi ukondla umzi wayo.
That results in the children, men, it would increase the rate of crime, robberies, and because this man cannot maintain his household or the family members.
Nayo le ndoda iphele incila ubomi bayo obu bonke. Nomgaya ingamkhathelelanga kuba inentlungu apha ebomini bayo ibongakwazi uma umzi wayo ngokupheleleyo.
This man would end up being a drunkard, not caring for his wife, because you would see that he is a person who can no longer maintain or care for his whole family.
Babhaqe umfazi nabantwana emzini bebhaqiswa yile ndoda bangabinakonwaba.
And children would run away from the house, and the cause would be this husband, they would have no freedom.
Ibizwe ke loo nto ke women abuse and child abuse.
That would finally be referred to as women abuse and child abuse.
Enkosi mhlali ngaphambili okwale ireport ke ka health ndiyacinga uba sawuphinde sibuye xa sithetha ngeka Department of Labor ku-UIF.
I am thankful, Chairperson, regarding the health report. I think we will come back at a later stage when we are referring or talking about the labor report.
I think honorable members, the ex-mine workers have confirmed the report, made some additions. It's open to you if you would want to have some questions or inputs on the report. The honorable members, I'll start from that end. One, number two, number three, number four. Honorable Marae, you would start.
Thank you, Chairperson. I first want to go to the gentleman that's done the report. Thank you very much. He ended with this following sentence, and I think I'll write it down as if correct. Could go on a campaign to find people less focused on claims. Is that correct? I think it is fairness and for deal process that has happened over this period in time that we actually must, the word could replace by must. We must go on a campaign and the money is there. It should be paid out to the people. So we've done a long way with all this work and excellent work has been done, but we can't stop now. It must go to the end. Even to, if you have to advertise in the local newspapers to see, and that is the last effort to find the people outstanding. I think it's absolute fairness that we must do that. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Chairperson, thank you very much. I'll ask one or two simple questions. In 2004, we were talking about 54 million. 32 million having been used. We are still talking about those figures even today. Why are we still talking about those figures? What's happened? That's the first question. Or a rider for that would be, how much is left now of that 54 million? It is assumed that is 22 million. Out of the payments that were made, out, how much do we have of that 54 million? What are the sources how should I phrase this? what other companies were identified as having monies that are owed to ex-mine workers? Because I think the recommendation to the interministerial task team was further investigate chamber, further investigate other entities, including that entity where a single man took all the money. Fidencia. Yeah. I think that was the the recommendations that were made by the ad hoc committee. Furthermore, I think I just feel flabbergasted by Uteba. At this juncture, Uteba cannot trace ex-mine workers. They cannot, if I can check on my notes here, they cannot validate some of the people that they are tracing for you. But my question would be, are they doing this for a fee? What is happening between yourselves and whatever? Are they charging you for tracing the people whose data they should have been having when they were recruiting? Deba was a recruiting agent at that time, and therefore they should be having this data at hand. How are they doing it with you now? I think I'll end there, but one is interested on these lists that are validated or verified, lists that are not verified. Where do we stand now with the list, the composite list of the ex-mine workers? Remember, we were talking about this list in 2004. 7 years down the line, we're still talking about an incomplete list. What is the holdup? I cannot take it that marketing campaigns are not working, because it was also a recommendation that the processes should be marketed to the maximum. I don't know whether our marketing tools do not reach to people in far-flung areas. If that is the case, what should we do? I've got a lot of questions, Chairperson, but I'm going to leave it for other members. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Khanal.
You said to move on this way.
You raised your head, sorry. Yes.
Okay, thank you, Chairperson. My question here is, you see, the presenter said is starting time for mine workers, but there is no end time. Now, I'm getting confused here as to whether the mine workers absconded. But even though they absconded, there has to be an absconding date, the date on which they have left job. I don't think we should accept the fact that there is no end time. It cannot, people cannot just disappear in air. There should be, much as this a starting time, there should be an end time, even if people just absconded. Thank you. Sorry. The other one, I've got another one here. You see, on the other one is on page 4. The accrued interest on the amount of 54 million, which is actually causing also a confusion here as to whether it is 30 million or 50 million. But as the former speaker has said, we cannot still be, if it was 54 million, then it must have accrued interest. We can't be talking about 54 million. We should be talking about 55 or so. Page one, how did the 30 million become 54, or the other way around? We want to know. And the determination of 27, I mean 2,700 rand. How did that 2,700 rand got determined? How did you reach that amount? The in-laws of the deceased mine workers were not actually qualifying for claims, for compensation, according to Act 81.1. And yet they have been paid. Now, how then was that act overlooked? The second, I mean, the last one is the miners were paid twice. Now, one would want to know where did the money come from to pay them for the second time if they were previously paid? Because this would then tell us that you just pay indiscriminately. I mean, you pay people for the money that they have worked for. But if you pay people and they come again and you pay the same people again, then it raises some doubts. Thanks.
Thanks, Chairperson. I think there are a number of us that have been involved in this thing for a long time. I've been here nearly 3 years, and I've watched this thing for 3 years. Yeah, please do translate. This process was started by President Mandela when he was the president. So we're talking about a long, long process. And I think we need to understand the context, because often when the presentation gets made, the same questions get asked again, and we're just wasting our time, honestly. There are some key things that we need to understand. What this report is about and this process is about is unemployment benefits for people who were retrenched or fired or whatever the process was, and compensation for injuries and diseases for people who were injured when they were working on the mines. And then there was an amount of money made available by the Chamber of Mines, what we call an ex gratia payment, but you can, in common language, it's a donation because they are concerned that the former mine workers did not receive proper UIF or retrenchment benefits. This is not about pension. This is not about employment. It's about those things. It's about unemployment benefits. It's about compensation for injuries, and it's about this amount of money that was made available by the mines for people who were formerly employed as a sort of an ex gratia payment. The other thing we need to bear in mind is this concerns people who used to be employed during the course of the apartheid government. These are not people who were recently employed on the mines. These are people who were employed on mines a long, long time ago. And so I think we must be understanding of the committee when they have to, you know, try and get around some of these complicated rules, because there are cases when the records are gone. The records have disappeared in some cases. It's a long time ago. And we must be a little bit understanding if they have to wiggle a little bit to try and assist, because the records have gone lost 30 years ago, 20 years ago, 40 years ago even. And I think we mustn't get too crazy about, you know, if they can't find a termination date, they may have to draw an approximate date, because really this is about apartheid, this is about long ago, it's not about today. But we could also not expect things that are unrealistic. This is not about a lifelong pension and about a lot of money. There isn't a lot of money. It's not a lifelong pension. And I must say, if the mine were
to go further than what this is about and talk about pensions or social benefits that are further than this. And I think they should approach government in terms of maybe the Department of Social Welfare or whatever for those kind of benefits, because that is not under the Department of Labor's or the Department of Mines' ability to investigate. We can only investigate UIF unemployment benefits. We can investigate injuries, diseases that occurred when they worked on the mines, and we can disperse this money that was made available by the Chamber of Mines. Those are the three things we can do. And once we've done those three things, then our job is closed. And we need to close this job off. Other pensions and social grants must be applied for to government via the Social Development Ministry and so on. But we can't do that. So I think those are just my comments, Chairperson, that we must not expect things that are not possible. And we need to, I think, understand that Mr. Surwe's committee is really trying within the law, and we must be understanding if he can't find all the details, he may need to develop approximate salary amounts or approximate dates of ending of work so that he can close this. Because if we do not allow him an ability to do that, it's going to go on forever. We will be dead and this file will not be closed, because it's a time when the records were not properly recorded 30 years later. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thanks, Chairperson. On page 6, the second bullet, you are saying that it was a total number of 11,200 beneficiaries which has been traced and compensated, and about 7,300 beneficiaries are still to claim from the fund. But on page 11, if I calculate all the people you claim to have paid, it's about 14,094. If you would say that from 2003 to now, it's 14,094. I don't understand how the discrepancy as far as that is concerned. The other point which I wanted to raise is that, look, when we use acronyms, is it possible for us to at least indicate what do they mean? Like, for instance, the CCOD, OTP, and BOD. It is an assumption that everybody knows what that means. You might be the only people who knows, that assumption that everybody knows. Is. The other point that I think there is a lot of confusion about what this money is for, and I think it's important, because if you don't communicate properly, and there is a misunderstanding, then there is a possibility of conflict arising, because you assume that you move from the same position. You are especially if the people think that they are being owed money. Like, for instance, if you say there is interest, who benefits from the interest? I mean, do you lose all the interest as you get paid? Or only those who have not claimed are going to benefit from that particular interest if people are going to be paid with interest? So the other one is the last point which I wanted to raise, is the issue of database. These people were recruited by Teva, but were employed by Mines. So the two must be having their information. There is somebody who does not cooperate between the two. My own experience, people always say, apartheid lost the documents they wanted to lose. Honestly, they lost what they wanted to lose. If you go to people who are claiming land, there is quite a lot, you get surprised about the type of information, which is available. So this thing of people saying that documents have been lost is not true. They have lost, I mean, I understand the security police and the intelligence lost some documents. And there's also with the witness. But others have not lost the document. We have got to dig deeper, because Miles can cooperate. Miles knows who works for them, who worked for them for a very long time. And those records can be, it really depends on whether they are cooperating or not cooperating.
Thank you. Let's take will be the last
Thanks, Chairperson. Let me first appreciate the work that is done by the Interdepartmental Task Team. You know, I don't see this as easy work, but work that needs to be done somehow. And much of the time, we have called to this committee, and I don't remember us ever appreciating the work that we have been doing besides us telling you what to do, what to do, and what to do. But I want to also put forth the, you know, you are saying to us here that you have a number of payments that you have to pay for UI, but your problem is that there is no end date of employment. And the UI Act requires you to actually have the starting day and the end date. And you might not have the end date, because we are talking about people, some of them who have passed on, some of them who are just relying on their in-laws to try and remember to say, this, my father-in-law works at this mine and does not even know when he actually ended the work or was actually kicked out. So we are talking about people, some of them were forcefully removed from the mine. But I want to go back to the scenario of CCOD, where the Act did not permit beneficiaries to be the daughters-in-law. But the minister made that provision just for the payment of the CCOD. I want us to look at a situation here where the Minister of Labour can actually make the provision to actually find a workable situation so that you can do the payment, finalize the payment of this. But you can ask for people to come up with affidavits. The affidavits might not be true at all, because some of them do not know when the actual end date of work was. So we are just going to be sitting with piles of benefits that are not concluded. But if we can actually, as this committee, put forth the recommendations to the minister to actually look at a provision where she can allow them these payments actually go through. And then secondly, I'm looking at a situation where your Chamber of Mines is saying that they cannot trace, they cannot get any trace at the beneficiary that were put forth. But with you working with TEBA, you have been able to get some form of record. And I'm looking at Chamber of Mines versus TEBA situation to say what is stopping them from actually going into TEBA and getting this record. So TEBA was the recruiter of most of these people that worked in the mine. And then my third question would actually go to the Natal Coal F Miners Cooperative. You know, previously in the meetings, in all the meetings, this union was not able to provide lists of beneficiaries that were supposed to be paid. I'm actually interested now to say, after we have put forth the end or the deadline, to say what have they come up with, how many names have they brought forth up to now, up to the previous engagement, they were not having list of beneficiaries that they put forth. And then I want to go back to the 54 million versus the 32 million. You know, your report clearly, the report, although it's not your report, it's the report that is provided by CCOD and that you are putting forth today to us on their behalf. And I just don't know whether I should continue to ask this or not, because you will not be able to answer on their behalf. No, so I'll just rest there. And then I would also just request Chairperson to say on record, can we also try to get CCOD to come forth, because there are many questions that we have before them. Because if if this 32 million was invested, I mean, it's money that did not belong to them, but the money that were for beneficiaries and was invested, and it had accumulated more than 22 million. We need to sit down and see how. I mean, it's true when these people say they also want some of the interest of that money, because it's their money. It's money that belongs to people, to beneficiaries. And we should all maybe just try and find means and ways of to say how will this 22 million remaining be distributed back to the very same beneficiaries. Thank
you very much. Honourable member next to you.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Honourable Chair, mine will only be on the input from the Chairperson of the Trust. It seems that they are not working together. I just want to know, what are you going to do to assist them, to speak to the Department of Health, to speak to TEBA, to speak to the Premier? Thank you.
My name is Lokumazo Rungula from the member of this committee. Commissioner, you, from where I am, you are the most unfortunate person this afternoon. Very unfortunate indeed. I sympathize with you. I don't feel pity, but I feel bad. You are the most unfortunate guy this afternoon to appear before this committee, whose members happen to be myself amongst others. Look, in a war situation, it doesn't matter how big the size and the shape of the war. It doesn't matter. In our situation, if you see people killing children and women, it means the first soldier has disappeared. The first soldier is the true God. It has disappeared, completely nullified. The first soldier, the truth, has been killed. That is why you see in our situation people killing children and women. It means the truth is gone. Nobody knows why we are fighting, for fighting against who? Because the truth is no more. You see, if I was in charge of NA, National Intelligence Agency, let me tell you what I was going to do. I was going to take all heads of departments involved in this process, put them in jail for 24 hours without food and water, just for 24 hours only. And let's see as to whether they can talk a different language this time. Honestly. I mean, I used to work in Blankbaan Colliery Mines in Middleburg in 1977. It's 44 years back. I can tell you, when I was recruited, they started with my headman into the office of the local Hoshi, into the offices of the local magisterial offices, processing my ID for a calling card, up until I get into the mines. You can't tell me. Am I mad if I'm able to remember these records? Am I out of my mind? It's 44 years back, but I can still tell you how I was recruited. I ended up being in Middleburg Colliery Mines in Blenba, 1977. I can still take you through the process of how I ended up being a mine worker in 1977. And I'm sure my mind is okay because I can still remember how the process used to be in order for me to become a mine worker 44 years back. You cannot tell me, because it's not true, really. It's unacceptable. It's not true. You're not talking to school boys and girls here. You're talking to adults. You can't tell me, Comrade Chairperson, that the ANC does not have my record as to when I joined the MK, when I was arrested, when, how long did I stay in Robben Island. Can't tell me, Comrade, you can't tell me. They don't have my medical record. It's a lie. You can't tell me that. It's 22 years back since I left Robben Island. In 1991, it's 22 years back. You can't tell me those are concerned. I know more. Why do I know? When for the last time I was taken to Kudus Cave with my leg irons? Why do I remember that? You can't tell me the NC can't remember. One for the first time I came into their midst. You can't tell me they can't remember. You can't tell me. Because this thing of rebels and blah, blah, things is a lie. It's a green lie. In American parlance, they say you are lying through your neck. That's why I'm saying, Chapter, Commissioner, you are the most unfortunate guy this afternoon. I'm sorry. I'm very sorry. And finally, if I was to conclude my contribution towards us, you talked about all my locals and stores. I'm a baby boy. I can't understand how did you target this generation after generation? Cut off where? Which generation should be a cut off? We end here, we are no longer going this way. And I can't believe really, because you remember, Chairperson, the last time we talked to the other deputy commissioner from Eastern Cape. It's a woman's man, she happened to be a woman that. And I think she'll continue to be a woman until now. She was a woman. She was dismissed in that meeting. You remember? Kudos Center. With the report she presented, she was dismissed. No, this is, we cannot accept this. We said so. And she was dismissed, very graciously dismissed. With the report. And here we are today. We are still talking of terror. We cannot attend meetings. What are we saying after so many years, so many moons, so many stars? What are we saying? I want somebody really to persuade me otherwise, to say from now on, in the next 60 days, we are going to present a much better report than this one. Because look, you can't deal with poverty issues in the manner that we are doing. You wake up in the morning, you've been given a task, a responsibility, you take a shower, you eat your breakfast, you get into your seat class, you go to work. After so many days, you still present the same report to us. Same thing to us. I mean, you can't be dealing with poverty in the manner that we are doing. I mean, it's like coming to the meeting, lying and going away, coming back to correct the lie I told the other time. Every time I come back, I lie again. I'm sorry, Commissioner Benson, because I, at my age, experience, and history, I can't buy anybody's face. Unfortunately, I should not. Can't polish anybody's shoes except mine. It's quite unfortunate. This must come to an end, Commissioner. I'm sorry, Commissioner. I'm not pointing fingers. I'm sorry about that, unfortunately. Thank you.
When Kerukoza, I mean, Commissioner, it was this report. He, Nana Kulimis and Nayona, with the ex mine workers. Was this report before Izala? Did it serve in the IDTT? If not so, why didn't it serve? If it did, why weren't we told that there are all these other gaps? Because then there are other things that are not reflected in the report, like what are the challenges that you are facing in terms of the functionality of the interdepartmental task team? You know, we're not even told that the Department of Health, the CCOT, is not going to be here. I mean, I'm hearing it for the first time in this meeting, unless it was ever raised it with me. It was never raised. Because if we knew that they were not going to be here, we could have written a letter to the minister, you know, or even calling the minister to say, your people are not putting their weight behind this. And that's why this matter is tracking. And I know the Minister of Health would have put on his size 12 boot and kicked somebody in their faraway places, you know, to bring them to this meeting. So, in our meeting in the in Umtata, you raised an issue in relation to the Department of Mineral and Energy that they are not putting their weight behind this. Why is this not, you know? I think maybe what we need to do, we need to give us a report about your meetings, who is not participating and why, and how many meetings did they miss, what are the excuses for not coming to this meeting. Because then I think it will help us with the way forward in terms of engaging their principals. This time as politicians, we can only engage with their minister. Because if we don't get the whole report, some things are said verbally but they are not on paper. You know, there is no way that we can even forward this information to see how your people are performing. So this matter, the manner in which we are going is going to remain with us for the next 15 years. This is a lifetime problem. So I think that report will be very important, Commissioner, so that we can take it to the relevant political heads.
Yeah, thank you. I think so that we allow you to respond, let's give you all the questions. No second point, Honorable Kamara. We still are still running out of time. Is it a very small thing? Yes. From the report, it's very clear that there are people who try to take a chance of claiming when they have never worked at the mine. From this particular report, I'm just highlighting it because as a result of that, they might be disadvantaging other people. And people saying they're not finished because people, how are you going to do? I just want to get an idea of how are they going to deal with that particular situation to ensure that people who are taking chances are excluded and are told that no, you have never worked, so you can't claim.
Okay, thank you very much. Just on the original number of 4,400, where you were able to verify potential 2,100 beneficiaries, does this mean that on the remainder, there was no history of contribution to UIF at all? Or was it just that you can't place them in terms of their employment history with mining? Just to get the clarity on that, but also to say that the 54 million rand, let's clarify it once and for all, it's never been 30 million, it's 54 million rand, which was transferred by the Chamber of Mines to the government of the Eastern Cape, and it was transferred to the office of the Premier. That's the report that was given into here in Parliament. And it is a report that also the unions, not ex-mine workers union, like NUM, were aware of at the time when it happened. That's why you hear these problems about the interest there that people are going to bring. But also, honorable members, and I would want your reaction on this, is that it's true that we will play this merry-go-round for us on this matter, because we're just scraping the surface. We're scraping the surface. I don't know whether we have got no proper will to deal directly with the issues that are very tangible in this whole matter. Too much work has been done by the Department of Labor. They've even increased their staff complement to basically look and deal with this matter exclusively. And I think they need to be commended on that. But the problem is, what is it that you are dealing with? For instance, you know, you have monies that are lying within Rand Mutual Assurance. It's hundreds of millions that go under the term of unclaimed benefits. You should not avoid that.
as mine workers are aware. Unclaimed benefits. It's usual in terms of the pension funds, the provident funds. That's how they are able to accumulate part of their surplus. So Rand Mutual cannot say to you, I'm dealing with the 45 people that you have given me. Why don't they tell you how much money that constitutes unclaimed benefits in their possession? And also, that money was contributed by members who were part of that scheme. Do they want to tell us that that money simply came from nowhere? Therefore, they need to be saying, this is the money that is unclaimed benefit, and it amounts to this amount, and therefore, the records of the people we have who were contributors then are this. You find this across pension and provident funds. That's why at some stage, unions fought fearlessly on the issue of surpluses that have been built up in the pension funds before the era of the provident funds. And indeed, people who were contributing there were traced. And therefore, Rand Mutual must not wait for you to give them X number of people. When you give them 45, of course, they will deal with that 45 and fold their arms. But then, in their kitty, they have unclaimed benefits. They must disclose how much is that. And they must also tell us who were the contributors at the time. I don't know what they're going to do with fit and share and so forth. The other matter is, you still have a serious challenge ahead of you. At the moment, your work is concentrated in Eastern Cape because that's where the problem arose. Ex-mine workers are not only from Eastern Cape. You are still going to deal with other provinces. Limpopo is going to knock at your door. KZN is going to knock at your door. Northwest is going to knock at your door. All areas where they used to be homeless, for example, where TEPA had established offices for recruitment purposes, those areas are still coming to you. I'm sure they are watching the space in terms of how you handle and deal with the claims that have emanated from the Eastern Cape. And you are still going to have a mammoth task. That's why, therefore, we need to make sure that we collect all the necessary information and disperse the funds proportionately. To because if you only deal with Eastern Cape tomorrow, you are not going to have any kind of funding that you would have to disperse to other provinces that would also lay a claim. And lastly, on matters of occupational diseases and compensation thereof, this is quite a serious, you know, matter. It's a serious matter. As we speak, there is a Mankai judgment where courts basically said that mining companies must compensate Mankai, let alone the fact that he passed on. But there's a recent judgment that people who have contracted occupational related diseases from the mines must be paid, must be compensated by the mines. I know Chamber of Mines is planning to appeal that judgment. I don't know how far they've gone with that, but as we speak, there is that judgment. So therefore, that's why the CCOD must come here, so that we look at how do they determine compensation in conjunction with MBOD, and at the end, who then pays what, and what monies do they have? At one stage in the media, we read that, you know, the funds are exhausted. I don't know if that is still the picture, but we would want to know. But we would want your reaction on those. Thank you.
And thank you, Sir President. I think we can be able to handle all the questions. I need to start, Sir President, by actually thanking you for helping us in giving us some of the solutions. For it that while we give this to this organization, there's some money that is unpaid. Now, after we have dealt with all these other issues, and we come to the closing date of the 30th of September, and also the 7th of October, then we can be able to focus on the suggestions that you're putting on. If we give them a list and claims, and they say, well, we cannot trace some of the
the people in the list, the question that you're putting is valid. What has happened? What about the unclaimed money? And which is actually contained in the report. I think in the report there's about 40 million, which was identified with the Chamber of Mines. Now, I also wish to also thank Honorable Marcelle to appreciate the difficult position that we find ourselves in as dealing with this particular matter. It's not an easy task, and the fact that he's acknowledged that we're actually doing our best to deal with it. From ourselves, we can only be encouraged to continue, because as you see, some of the people from the committee, they actually retired, but from our side, we'll actually continue, despite the challenges that sometimes we face. We'll never get tired. We'll continue to do this work. And I think the other thing that you actually put forward is that on the 2001, which is the question that you have raised, is that the challenge we have is that there was 4,400, but we're then left with 2,001, which you said we can pay. And I think Honorable Michelle is coming with the solution where she's saying, despite the fact that you don't have an end date, maybe the minister can come with something like the Minister of Health did with the doctors-in-law. I think we can be able to put that to our minister. But the 888 that you indicated are those people where there are no end dates. And then we will actually take that forward to the minister to deal with that. I think Honorable Member Khanari is also in a way, because the information chairperson that we don't have, we don't manufacture the list. We get the list from ex-mine workers. There could be a possibility where some of the names that they are giving to us are not correct, because we don't have a way of verifying. But our systems, if we are able to find some information, it means our systems are that we actually have this kind of information. But the challenge that we face also is that I myself have an experience where we were given the names of people who are not working the mine. People are working checkers. Somebody who's actually stopped working in 1992. So that is the information we say, for instance, we can look at it and say, this person never worked in the mine. And I think that is an order. I think, Chairperson, I've indicated when I started to make my presentation about the CCOD, I also indicated that I went myself, I traveled from Pretoria to Johannesburg to talk to the commissioner of CCOD, and she indicated that unfortunately she's dealing with the issues of the Auditor General, and then she could not come, but I did also indicate that she gave me the report, I had to actually to present it. And also we have indicated that we've escalated non-attendance to our meeting and also to Parliament, to our minister, who was actually communicating with the colleagues to deal with the issues of non-attendance. Chairperson, in the case of Honorable Masi Romola, I really won't want to comment much, but I just want to indicate, because he actually touched the issues of doctors-in-law. We actually had to change the law to accommodate the daughters-in-law. It was not in the law, and I think it was not in the law. But because the Director General of Health at that time and the Minister felt that they actually understand the plight of poor people, they decided to say, let us issue a regulation, a gazette, that actually empowers them to actually a pay for the daughters-in-law to alleviate the plight of poverty. I won't want to go into Honorable Marcella commented, Honorable Khanar talked about, I think we need to look at the date and do the reconciliation, because the 14,094 talks about to date, which is today, because the payment is still continuing, and 11,000 talked about the period between February 2007 and also 2009. I agree with you that we need to do more communication to be able to bring, we have done that, but as also Mr. Maris has indicated, we still need to go again and do the communication, because the fact of the matter is that we're sitting with the money that is there, that is unpaid. properly take into account. Mr. Ollis also has made his input. We also appreciate it. The fact that there must be an end date is what we are looking at. That's why we have the deadline to that effect. I think Mr. Monama has actually asked some questions. Obviously, there's an issue of accrued interest. If you invest money, there'll be interest. But maybe Parliament can indicate to us what you do with the interest. But I remember the report that we got.
Not Monama, Winamo.
Winamo. Oh, sorry about that. Winamo. All right, thank you so much. Mr. Winamo, I think the report that we got from Parliament, which was chaired by Ubak Soto, they actually made suggestion that if there's some money that is additional, where you cannot trace people, actually that money can be used for development. So we're open for advice from Parliament with regard to the interest. I think that's what the Eastman Workers wanted. But in terms of what was put in, they were supposed to be paid a certain amount of money. 2007 as a fixed amount of money. And you were correct, this money has actually earned some interest over the years. The chairperson has helped me with the 30 million. We must talk about the 54, because the report says, because of incomplete documentation, people cannot indicate how it came to 54. Now, if we do our calculation, chairperson, you find that the 2007, the calculation could be the money that is available divided by the beneficiaries, and it will give us around that amount. That's how I believe the money was then determined. Obviously, you have to take some money for administration aside. That's how if you make a calculation, you see that will come more or less to that amount. Now, the issue that some people could come for the second time, I think at that point in time, it was like people wanted to deal with this thing and once and for all, to say, look, we have a list of 18,000, we want to deal with this. Now, whether people have been paid before or not, let's pay. I don't know the background around that, but it was like, let's deal with this matter once and for all. So, I think the other issue, chairperson, was from Mr. Sonto. He asked a lot of questions. I need to indicate that DEBA is not charging people. It's not charging us. We, because of the relationship that we have actually built with them, they are doing this for free from our side. Now, the Eastman workers did complain that when they go individually to DEBA, they are being asked a certain amount of money that must be paid. But in our case, that is not the case, and I agree with you that we must market this particular process better. Now, the composite list that you're talking about, I think, is this 18,000 list, and I think after that composite list of 18, then there was also the UI, and the UI talked about, we started with 18,000 ourselves, but eventually we came to the list that we said we can work with, which was 4,000. So, and thereafter, we're still receiving some lists. I think we will have to compile another composite list where we say UIF. This is the total list that we have received. The compensation fund under the working with the Rent Mutual Association. This is the list. I did indicate that there was also an initial list of 20,000 which went to Rent Mutual. So there are different kinds of lists. But fortunately, the CCOD is working with that composite list of 18,000. They are actually trying to reduce it. Now, if you look into the report here and what you said previously, the money that is estimated to be left at this point in time is around 18. It's around 18 million, which is the money, 1/8. Because when the custom started, we were dealing with 20 million, which was left, and we indicated that only 10% of that was paid, and the 10% is about 2 million. And what we are looking at in terms of estimate is that 18 million. You're correct. We have not touched the fiduciary issue. We need to help us. Because in your report, you said we must investigate how the money moved from the union, National Union of Mine Workers, from Old Mutual to fiduciary. We haven't done that particular part. I think, fortunately, in the coming, but we still do communication with them, and then we will also look into the that particular issue of the ditch. Although from our side, we need maybe to engage with it in a sensitive manner. It's quite not an easy thing to really deal with. Now, Mr. Nyamfu, I'll comment. It's correct that the money is 54 million, and then it's correct. We agree with that. But the indication that they are not happy with that amount. Well, we have also indicated that the 54. If you look at the inflation rate and the time period of money, this 2007 is not adequate. We agree with that. But unfortunately, that is the money that is available. I'd also wish to indicate that what Mr. Chairperson, maybe also answering your question, the ex-mine workers did accept the report that it actually reflects the activities that are taking place within our organization. So the report that we presented, even though we never said, because we met on the desk, we never said and said this is the report, but what we have put here, they've actually confirmed that it's a reflection of the actual events that took place, and they also indicated that the reservations they have at this point in time is that we don't have the Department of Health, which is here with us to answer those questions. So there are some questions in the report or allegations that are made in the report that the ex-mine workers really would have wanted to engage with them. Finally, Chairperson, for us to deal with this particular project, I'm going to reiterate. We have put the deadline, May for UI. We have received the documents, but the suggestions that are coming from the Chairperson and also Ms. Mashele, we are going to look at that, try to implement, so that those with no end date, we can be able to compensate. But with regard to remuneration, we are going to look into the estimate. We'll do our best to deal with those issues. Now, we said for Rand Mutual, we are going to have a deadline of September. For Chamber of Mines, is going to be 7 October, and thereafter we will be able to come with to implement the discussion or the recommendations that you're making where we're talking about outstanding list. Thank you, Chairperson. I hope I've tried to answer all questions.
Chairperson, I'm actually worried that we don't seem to be moving forward on this thing. I mean, I'm listening to you. You know, it's a very good talk, but it doesn't tell us when this thing is going to end. So this thing is still going to continue for many years to come, the manner in which we are going. My understanding was that some people were taken by buses coming out of the mines, who did not even have a chance to retrieve, you know, some of their belongings. They were passed out because there was violence and all this. They were passed out home. But you see, if you get three people, you manage to locate three people who are in the bus, they will help you to locate the rest of those who are in the bus. And it's known when did the bus take people from that. It may not necessarily be on the same day, but it could be one Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or whatever. But then you can say that this thing happened in March, so the cut-off date was March, because people were moved in March. There might be those who managed to dodge, but that is something else. It's an extraordinary whatever thing. That if we come to that conclusion that people left their mines in March, for an example, because of that uprising, then the cut-off date for employment will be much. I don't know why should we go and then try to, you know, get the minister to make a ministerial injunction, and you know, when we can take this, why can't we take this decision, commissioner? You know,
I'm reluctant to open another round, looking at the time, but I'm going to give you, if you are going to be short. When you are not short, I'm going to exercise my powers and cut at you. So we will start here, go there, go there.
Chair, at mines, when people go to work in the morning, before they start working, they do what is called clocking. And there are cars that they use to clock. And then the last date on which you clocked should be the cut-off date, because the date is there that this person clocked for the last time on the 5th of May this year. So it shouldn't be a problem.
Chairperson, thank you very much. I think the commissioner should understand that we understand the complexity of this this engagement. It's a pity that this member is not here now. You know, our people, when they went to Mgodini, they were counted like a flock of sheep. They didn't have names, they had numbers. So if you lose your number, you've lost your identity. Our Ziwa, if you've lost Lando. So I think we understand that. But we have started a process that sought to make a compensation possible with whatever little funding that was there. One would expect through you, Chairperson, that in the next meeting coming, we get to be reported to in this manner. This is how much is in the kitty. This is the number we are dealing with. And the sources from which this money, which is in the kitty, are these and those. We have not been successful in investigating certain sources that were identified in the past, and therefore that matter is closed. Because really, as we go forward, Chairperson, this matter needs to be propelled to a closure. A closure, I think when we recommended that the interest accrued by the monies that are getting into the kitty should be used for developmental purposes, because we knew that ex-mine workers would not live on handouts. It would not be possible. We were talking about projects and everything, if it is possible. So that is the direction through which we need to be going, Chairperson, and getting to know whether what is this RMA, whether they do not have surplus funding that should be getting into the very same kitty that we are talking about. I think those kinds of approaches we need to explore so that this matter should come to a closure. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Is it that?
Yabonga, Chairperson. The news of an escalator in the APACO committee, the portfolio committee.
I was to make a request to the committee.
Of portfolio committee. These are Kailagogba. O commissioner lo wethu usengxakini yokuba akhela abantu abangeziyo enhlanganisweni.
My request is that the commissioner, our commissioner, has got a problem of people who do not turn up in meetings.
Lo msebenzi ungaphezu kwamandla akhe ngokundiwujongileyo.
As I'm looking at the task he's having, the task is above what he can do.
Ikomiti lisiphetheyo apha epalamente ndizawucela yona ibe namandla okusibizela aba bantu bangafuni ukuza apha njengerand mishwali Nongo Atabrao Naba Provident Fund.
The committee at Parliament, I'll ask the committee to call the people like Rand Mutual, the people that the speaker has mentioned here is difficult to get. I'll ask the committee from Parliament to call these people, summon them to come.
Ngoba ngoku sithetha ngexesha lokuvala. Kodwa eyona nto eyenzekayo abezi ngaphambili enzela uba sibanike ezi zinto zifunekayo sibabuze nezi zinto kufanele sizibuze.
Because we are now mentioning closure, but we do not give them the time to come to us so that we could ask them what we want to ask and they could respond.
Mr. Chairperson, sithetha ngabantu abaphukela ezimayini, sithetha ngabantu abangenamilenze abafuna ukubhatalwa kodwa iRand Mutual ithi abaveli.
Chairperson, we are talking about people who were injured whilst at mines, some lost their legs, they have not been paid, and now it is mentioned that they do not appear, they are not being found.
Sithethe ngomama abagambulelwa imali yabo yeprovident fund yavalwa abangaziwa kwathiwa kuthini ngoyiphelileyo ebantwani babo bayalamba ngoku abayatye emakhaya abangabahlolokazi kodwa asixelelwa apho uba loo mali inini kuthiwa masenze ilist kuphela ezi zizawufika phaya zikhatywe kodwa sibe sinazo iinkcukacha kuba aba bantu baziphethe oomakhuluskopo bamadoda abo namadoda abaphethe amakhuluskopo babo abathi balimalele ezimayini ngakho.
And we are having cases of daughter-in-laws who are wanting their monies and their monies are not being paid. It is not known how they could be paid. But these people are having facts. They know their cases exactly and they know how they should be paid.
Okay, that is Salah. Ndiyacela ngicela amandla apha kuni nisibizele aba bantu nincedisane nocommissioner.
Shortly I ask you the chairperson to call to assist us and call these people.
Yes.
Sorry, before that. You know the person who just spoken has repeated what was said earlier by members here about someone in the Department of Health. Please let us not repeat what was said.
I think that it's quite clear that
we are not done today. Therefore, it means we need to get the team back. But now we must be very specific in terms of who else must be invited here, so that we're not putting one particular department on the spot, because now the commissioner here speaks on behalf of everybody else, and it's unfair. My list, I want you to correct this if it is not. It's the team sitting here. We want also Rand Mutual. We want CCOD. I hope you are noting the secretary. Department of Health, Fidentia, if they still exist, Chamber of Mines, DEBA, NUM, and the Department of Mineral Resources. Is there any body that we have left out? All right. My own feeling is that who did we leave out? Premier's office in Eastern Cape. Okay. Premier's office. Presidency. The presidency used to be represented. They are no longer attending. Okay. The presidency. You said who else? National Treasury. Who else that we have left out? Now, we need to give you reasonable time so that we get the updated report, we get consolidated report if it's all possible, or each party will come and talk to us on its own responsibilities. Now, this term is coming to an end when in October. Would we have time between now and October? Let's give you the entire September and then call you back here in October. Whether it will be the beginning, the middle, or the end of October, it's immaterial, but it will be in October so that there's enough time. And I think in that meeting, we need to be very clear. Set time aside, start at 9 instead of 10, so that you give us a summary of the update on the report. You've given us enough information now for us to be able to understand the background, the movements in terms of the list and all of that. But we would now need a summary of what is the status quo at the time when we will be meeting. We would expect the same with the rest of the bodies. But also, secondly, we need to, at that time, know how much money is where. And our letter of invitation, even to Rand Mutual, to Fidentia and so forth, they must disclose how much money is there which constitute unclaimed benefits. Whether they have records or not is a matter that we will discuss at the stage. And thirdly, we need to find closure for Eastern Cape on this matter. That's why I'm happy when National Treasury will be here, so that if we do agree as honorable members, we would need to have a fund where all these bits and pieces of money scattered all over would be put in, and I want to say that it let it be administered by the Department of Labor, because we have already demonstrated the kind of commitment through the work that you have done so far, that at least we can entrust you with that. And we take a decision at that stage, depending on the amount of money. From that money, how much, therefore, would we allocate to Eastern Cape the remaining beneficiaries and distribute it, close the matter altogether. And whatever shall remain, we will see what other province comes up and what would be the basis of their claims, so that we are able then also to deal with them in the similar fashion. The more this matter drags, the more we are unable to close the matter off completely. But we need to have a closure, pay out what is due to the people. Once we have done quite tremendous work when it comes to UIF, it's important also that we try and cover up on the other areas, the occupational diseases, the pension monies, and so forth, so that they can also all be paid. So we will give you the date once we have been able to put our heads together in October, and we'll write individual to these entities so that they do come here and give us account of what is happening. If we are able to find the whole day within our programs, that's what we will do. So that on that particular day, we know that we're not leaving the meeting without having found a closure on this matter. That this is what should happen, that is what should happen, and so that this matter is not remaining on our table forever. Otherwise, there are new problems that are going to emerge if we don't complete it. Chairperson, you can close the meeting.
Thank you. We need that report of the interdepartmental task team. What are the problems, who is playing, and who is with us and who is not, including even, where possible, a telling of the attendance register. You know, who attended how many meetings? Yeah, because I think that would be very helpful, particularly when we engage the principals at the end. I think for me, the most important thing here, apart from the monies, is getting our certified personnel register of people who worked in the mines during that time. Because you see, we in most cases move our eyes off the ball. Then we discuss things that are supposed to belong to next week. We discuss, you know. We talk about how much money is there, when the emphasis should be who qualifies to get this money. Because you can say 54, it could even be more than that, because there are even other monies that are laying somewhere there. But if you don't know this money is for who, then it becomes a problem. So let us put our emphasis more on cleaning the list, the data of ex mine workers. I think if we focus more on that one, it will help us to solve the problems. The money thing can follow. You know, in terms of who's supposed to get how much money. I think we need to do that. Let's concentrate more on the names, and I'll suggest that next time when we meet, we need more than one day of meeting to be able to come up with, and that more than one day meeting will depend on the availability of all participants in the IDTT. And I was suggesting that, okay, maybe this meeting should happen the first week of October. Because you are closing when? What is the closing date? Oh. Okay. So that then we say, do we close this thing given this information that we have?
Yes.
You know, maybe let us do it after the week of the 7th. But we need more than one day. One day is not going to be enough to deal with this. And taking into cognizance that we have different cultures of meetings. You know, where the person will start with the background. Each time you talk about something, then you take us back to 2003 where I worked, and you know, and this consumes time. And if you want to give people that chance of, you know, talking until they get tired, we need more than one day to do that. Until not necessarily tired, until people are satisfied. Tired is not good a word to use. Until people feel that, you know, we are satisfied with it, we have raised our issues. So you see, if it was possible, we could be meeting where, you know, in the Eastern Cape, in Umtata, not in Parliament, where we can even have enough time. We can meet on Friday into Saturday. on where should the meetings be and how many days, but one day on is not enough. Thank you very much. And let me take this opportunity to thank those who have been traveled the furthest. Those will be the ex-mine workers from the Eastern Cape. We know how difficult it is to travel. It's ground to go on a taxi and then jump off, get a lift somewhere until you get to the airport, and you're still going to go through that going back home. We thank you very much. I think it's this kind of persistence to raise issues by people who are affected by, you know, I'm a problem. This is what makes our democracy rock, you know. And this is what makes us as politicians to be kept under check all the time to see what is this, what we are doing that is benefiting us, you know, as the most vulnerable of workers. Mine workers are treated more or less like the farm workers. They belong to that category of vulnerable workers. And I think when we deal with the issues, we need to, you know, exercise caution and be very, very sensitive, you know. Sometimes it becomes difficult from this table to tell somebody to say, no, I think you have said more than enough, you are repeating yourself more than four times. You are repeating the same thing. Because that might be a way of this person trying to emphasize the point that they want to drive home, you know. With this word, thank you, thank you, thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned.